Hi, I'm Kyle on episode 492 of the MWA podcast. Sean, Mark, and myself are asking Jesse Hell the five questions. If you haven't already, be sure to check out Jesse's interview on episode 491. So welcome back to the show, Jesse.
Hey, what's up?
Well, before we get into the five questions, who do we have to thank this week?
For sure. We always like to give a shout out to our Patreon supporters. Today, we're giving that big shout out to Eric Rommel. Eric, thank you for supporting us. And if you would like to join Eric in the support of our podcast, you can go to patreon.com/MWA podcast and support us there.
Exactly. And hopefully, Eric, you have received your products. Anyway.
Inside baseball.
Well, let's move on to the five questions. So first up, Jesse, what's your favorite tool? And as always, our limit is 23.
So I wish I had a really cool hand tool to say, but I actually, this was one of the questions I came up with an answer for. And this is probably an answer that a lot of people have given, but I think the router. And because the router is attached to all my favorite tools. I mean, I have the Panarouter, you know, the CNC, you know, I think the router is probably the most versatile tool that there is.
So what's your favorite router? Do you have a particular go-to brand or model?
I think the one that I like the most, I don't own.
The next router is my favorite router.
Mm-hmm. No, I really think that I would like that Milwaukee. I really want one that's small and kind of ergonomic. And I've got the DeWalt, and it's a great router. It's awesome. In all my machines, I have the not the CNC. I've got the Bosch, but the DeWalt is just so fat where you hold it. I bought like several of the Ryobis because they were only like $50 and I like to have different bases on them, you know?
Right.
So the Ryobi actually feels better. It just, I can't do anything serious with it, you know? So I think the Milwaukee is ergonomic, like the Ryobi, just more powerful.
Okay. You're looking at cordless or corded?
Yeah. Well, I've got a Makita corded. I've had a bunch of them. I've probably got like seven now. The Makita actually failed me a few times. The collet, which I guess I could have changed that. It's corded too, so that's kind of annoying. And I've got the Festool one with the handle.
Yeah.
I don't use that a lot because I only use it for half inch stuff, and I don't do a lot of hand half inch stuff. But that one's pretty neat. I mean, the gizmos that it comes with are pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Actually, to be honest with you, I think my favorite router is my cheap little Ryobi.
There you go.
I think the Milwaukee would be a nicer version of Swell. He has one of those little Bosch ones. You know, the little tiny 12
volt. Yeah, the Colt. Yeah, the Bosch Colt.
He said it's really great if you get the I think it's a 6 amp hour battery. Or mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't want to buy a whole new battery system and all that, but I probably would like that one. I don't know.
Yeah, so that makes
you're talking
sense.
About the quarter inch M18 Milwaukee.
Yeah, the little one that's like a little Z. Yeah. Oh no, the Milwaukee. Yeah, the smaller. It actually looks like a red version of the Ryobi to me.
Yeah,
just a little like a, I would call it a trim router.
Yeah,
just quarter inch collet.
I like having a lot of them just for different bases. I mean, that's the only reason I like
it. For sure. I mean, yeah. I get it. If they're not the cheapest tool, but they can be relatively inexpensive compared to other things. And if you have a quarter inch round over that you use routinely in your work, definitely keep that one set up and that one tool. I mean, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, I'm all for the two bandsaw thing. I have a small shop and I got two.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that too. Unfortunately, I don't quite have the room to put two bandsaws in.
I don't either.
Yeah, I know. I could squeeze one in somewhere, but it's just like, anyway, I just keep a 3/4 inch blade on it. And if I have to cut curves, then I got to do a lot of the little cuts.
Mm-hmm. I just cut everything with a 1/4 inch blade, like a 3-tooth. quarter-inch blade. I resaw my slats for these chairs with that blade.
I've tried that. I am not there yet. That did not work out for me.
It has to be a sharp, right? That's the, and you have to go slow, but you know, I have my, you know, giant Tanowitz, but like you can't resaw with it. It's the tires are all jacked up, but you know, it'll rip through 4-inch thick maple just because of the power. But that's the only reason it's a really useful saw. Like that, my little 14-inch Rockwell Delta, that thing, you know, a 1/4-inch blade. I don't have any other. I can't even tighten a blade any wider than that on that saw. It's not strong enough.
Wow.
So I just put the 1/4-inch in, and if it stops cutting well, I put a new blade on. That's it.
New blade. What's that? You can buy new blades for bandsaws?
Yeah. you mean besides when they break in use?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I've learned when it starts ticking, it's time. It's actually a warning to stop the saw and change the blade. So,
but. Fantastic! I didn't know that, and learn something every time we do a podcast.
So wear gloves when unfolding
a new blade. I'm just joking with myself. I've been telling myself for about a year I need to get a new bandsaw blade. I haven't done it yet, but it's still cutting fine. So you know, I'm doing this based on time, not based on how the cut's going. So maybe I should, you know, just refrain and say, hey, if it's cutting well, then hey, it's still sharp. So
yeah, you're fine.
All right, Jesse. So next question: who has influenced you the most?
That is a tough one because it would be in different. Sure. Like design is, you know, different from woodworking and, you know, CNC. And I mean, like, if I had to say who has influenced me the most with the CNC, that would be Birchhold. Woodworking would be Swell. Or I mean, he's like my tech support. Like every time I run into something, and I know I drive him crazy, but he's so nice. Sometimes I'll message him and I'm like, I know I'm annoying him, but I know he's so nice. He will still answer me. So I do it anyway.
he is the nicest guy. That's
yeah, sure. He really is.
He is fantastic. He ran across some stuff and says, hey, I think you could use this in making your jigs. I went, yeah, I could. How much do I owe you for it? Don't worry about it. I
picked him up at some sale,
super cheap or something. Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, Leaf Handcrafted, he's been a big influence early on with me. He's definitely a huge influence with design and woodworking. I that's like the coolest guy in the world to me.
Yeah.
But, of course, Pepe, you know, I mean, when it comes to design, Pepe was definitely one of the biggest influences, definitely probably the biggest influence when it comes to design.
Yeah. Very cool. Totally makes sense that you've got multiple.
We got to get Pepe on the podcast. But last time we reached out to him, he goes, my English isn't quite good enough.
Yeah, he's, and I don't, you know, me and him talk constantly and he's always saying, you know, my English, and I know he's using translators and stuff, but I have never noticed, like, I could be talking to one of you guys messaging, and he's always like, I think he's in his own head about it. I think maybe he's more worried about it than it would be, because I think he would probably do better than he thinks, but he's really worried about his English. I know that.
My wife likes to bring up that, you know, anybody like that, that is English as a second language, speaks English better than I speak their natural language. So I take no shame in any of that whatsoever.
He probably thinks he's bad at English because I am so bad at English that he's like, oh my God, I don't know what that word was. And it probably wasn't a real word.
Yeah. It's like, no, you're not the authority by any means. We'll see. We'll have to work on him.
I'll work on him for you guys, but I do know that he's worried about his age.
Understood.
Well, so before I ask my question, who was your CNC influence?
Birchhold. That guy's a genius. He's a genius with a CNC. I mean,
how do you spell his name?
Oh man, I'm not smart.
is he on Instagram?
Yeah. He's the booby guy. Everybody knows him as the booby guy.
I don't have any of this.
BERCH Cold. I don't know. Nick Birchhold.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying name. It was Bert Scholl.
No, it's Nick Birchhold.
Yeah, he was the guy who did the aluminum version of the
Yes.
He, okay. Yep.
He works for an architecture firm up in Chicago, and he makes like the model buildings. He's man, he knows. I haven't seen anybody that's better with CNC.
Yeah. Yeah. He does some amazing work. Okay. So, what is your woodworking white whale? What's that one project that's just hauling out to you? You're obsessed with,
chairs, but specifically, like a living room chair with fabric and sofa. Like I just, that's what I really want to eventually be able to do. And even if somebody else is making it, I designed it. I don't care what aspect of that I'm in. Like, I just want to be involved in that.
Cool. Cool. Now we're thinking something that's fully upholstered, or are you thinking about something?
No, a mixture. A mixture. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I really like morning works, like type stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Maybe a little more upholstery, maybe a little more Brazilian. I don't know, but like something in that area.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a cool guy. He comes from a hot rod family.
Man, I love his stuff. It's great.
Yeah, I think it was his dad was like a Hot Wheels designer.
That's cool.
And then when he grew up, they built hot rods together and that kind of stuff. So yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. For those of y'all tuning in, check back in our archives, and we do have a episode with him. So check him out. So, anyway, what's been your biggest stumbling block in woodworking? I mean, you've only been at this for 6 months, it seems like. But anyway.
I would say it's been the woodworking.
Just in general.
You know, you design something and then you got to make it. And it's like, what the
it's
hell?
It's hard. Yeah, it's really difficult. Interesting.
Can I outsource this, you know?
Yeah. No, I really would like to outsource. I'm like, you would make it so much better, man. Come on. For real, it's probably mainly hand planes. Like I've bought a few and it just never goes well for me, and I come up with something else.
Sure.
Well, you need to go to one of those Lee Mills.
I know. I heard that when you guys were saying, I was like, maybe I need to try that.
It is remarkable. If you can get to a show where I will say for economic reasons, Lee Valley or Lee Nielsen are there. There are many other boutique makers that make very, very, very fine tools, but they're a little more expensive. But if you can get to a show where you can get your hands on a current production Lee Valley Veritas or Lee Nielsen plane or hand tool of any sort, you know, you will get a respect for what they can do in comparison to what your flea market find could do.
Well, I ended up buying one of the and forgive me, I actually don't know what they're called either. One of the small, is it Bridge City?
Mm-hmm.
I brought one of theirs. And for the size, it was pretty expensive. And I tried to do something with it. And I was like, I'm not doing any better than my cheap little Stanley with this.
Yeah.
And then I've got like one of those old, it's like a record. One of
records. Record.
Whatever, this guy. I think I've done better with this than anything, but I don't do good enough that I grab it. I'm always like, well, I could probably do better with something else.
Right. There's a whole hybrid style of when those fit into an otherwise power, you know, working thing. You know, some people that love hand tools can say, oh, I don't use sandpaper. You know, this is just, it's right off the tool and it's perfect. No. And not everyone can achieve that, but there's a finesse to hand tools that I think is learnable.
I actually do better with carving than I do with trying to use stuff like that. Like just carving with like I've got this, this rotary tool. Like I can carve something out and like sand it down and do it. It's so much easier than trying to just flatten something with one of those.
I want to say planes is the one thing that you actually need someone to walk you through.
I that is it. Cause I've watched videos and I was no better off. Like, I really need somebody there. I mean, almost like romantically holding my hand, like behind me.
Yeah, but you're not that wrong. I mean, you need someone to look at, hey, how are you actually doing this? Are you trying to do it all with your arms, or are you actually using your lower body? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
those kind of things. Yeah. And
it's the same thing the first time I used a joiner. I mean, a power joiner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't make the thing flat. I made it curved. You know, I'm putting the pressure in the wrong spot. I mean, you gotta go through it to learn it. But it is a stumbling block for sure. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that is probably my biggest one. Yeah.
Yeah. Understood. Well, if, like I said, if Lee Nielsen is opening up, you know, I'm sure they're going to be somewhere in your area or something like that. And I would encourage you to go, and they'll be there. They'll be there to teach you how to use them, how to sharpen them, mm-hmm. how to whatever you need.
What's the hike from Richmond area to around Cincinnati, Ohio? Ooh, how far is that?
That's a pretty good one. Probably about 10 hours or something.
New York. Okay, okay. What about New York?
Yeah, how about New York?
New York would be closer. I know to New York City. New York City, we're probably about 6 hours.
Yeah, okay, that's up there. But there's something. There'll be a time, and it, you know, as the woodworking shows of different sorts start coming back from the pandemic, find one. I mean, there's the opportunities like this at the what's the other one that goes around? It's the woodworking show.
Yeah, wood shows. Yeah, there's not a lot of hand tools at those shows.
No, I know, but like Lee Valley's been there at times, and there's other things like they just had one I think 2 weeks ago in Columbus, Ohio, and so they're out and about traveling. I don't know how close they come to your personal area, but they're out there. Get your hands on them.
I can see the benefits of when to use them because I'll screw up and be like, you know, I probably could have done this a lot better with one of those, but I mean, I can't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like someone could have done this a lot better with one of those.
No, it's a Roy Underhill joke, but, you know, SawStop has their flesh sensing technology. Every handsaw I have has its own flesh sensing technology. And I stop.
I think honestly, you'd be better. I mean, okay, I love my hand planes, but you'd probably be better served to get better with a handsaw and and chisels.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
I don't feel too uncomfortable with those. Like, I mean,
yeah, so those are hand
I'm not
tools.
Great with them, but I can use those. In fact, I use those quite often.
Yeah, it's more hand planes that is your.
It's really the hand planing that I have mm-hmm. a problem with.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
That refines it a bit because it is. I mean, hand tools is pretty broad, but you're right, Mark. Like,
yeah, I might have made it too broad. It's
really I think you said hand planes. I just I was distracted with this image of Patrick Swayze and Ghost.
Oh, and hand plane. And, you
know,
I just need someone to lift me up.
Yep. Guide your elbows.
Hey, if you're ever in the Ozarks, we can make that video.
I want to be in the dove position.
Get the you Righteous know, Brothers tools. Plan. Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Okay, moving on to our next question.
All right. So, final question. Let's take this home. How has the internet influenced your work?
I think the internet was the great. I'm one of the YouTube babies, you know, that learned woodworking on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And very quickly I got to a point where I thought I don't need to learn how to make a sled for my table saw anymore. And my wife was like, well, why don't you try Instagram? And I'm one of those people. I was like, I hate social media. You know, it's like, I'm not doing that. And she's like, well, there's probably a bunch of woodworkers on there. And I was like, well, okay.
Yep.
So I got on Instagram fully intending on just being one of those no face, you know, just follows 9,000 people and, you know, just watch people work. And when people started interacting with me, that was probably the greatest thing that ever happened to me because, you know, you see somebody do something and everybody's usually really cool. You can just message them and be like, hey, you know, well, how did you do this? You know, and most people will respond back and be like, oh, you know, I've learned so much more through Instagram than I ever could have on YouTube. Or, I mean, I don't really have the accessibility of like going to like a woodworking school or anything like that. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I work a lot and stuff. So just being able to ask people questions on the internet was huge, huge. And I mean, I've learned so much on here.
Awesome.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I think everyone is because, you know, woodworking is a solitary hobby, basically.
I mean, maybe if I didn't make an ass out of myself at Daniel Ricci's shop, I could have learned something there, but I don't know any other work. I don't know any other woodworkers around here. So
yep.
The internet really.
Your story is not uncommon by any means. A lot of people are doing their thing and learning from a thing and don't have anybody else to bounce ideas off of or learn from. So
yeah.
Understood. Yeah,
exactly. Well, speaking of which, so if folks want to interact with you on the interwebs, where can they find you?
Instagram, Shinobi Tree, and TikTok, Shinobi Tree. There's an underscore in there somewhere. I still don't remember.
Right between the Shinobi and the tree.
That would make sense. I wouldn't think that'd be S underscore.
It's Shinobi.
But we are a few beers in now, so.
There you go. So, Mark, where can folks find you?
You can find me at Mark Builds It on Instagram. And Jesse, I've got videos on hand plane setup and sharpening all kinds of stuff at the Joint Effort on YouTube. There's no table saw sleds ever. Like
good
linked there. How about you, Kyle?
You can always find me at Barton.Kyle or BB Custom Tools on Instagram or bbcustomtools.com or on YouTube under BB Custom Tools and Kyle Barton. Sean, what about yourself?
Per usual, you can find me at SeanW78 on most social medias.
And that just about wraps it up for this show. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on the podcatcher of your choice. Just search for the Modern Woodworkers Association. And while you're there, please leave us a review. You can follow us on Instagram at MWA_podcast. And if you'd like to support the podcast, go over to patreon.com/MWA podcast. But the best thing you can do is tell a friend. Word of mouth goes a long way in sharing our discussion.